Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This winter, I've enjoyed studying the small catechism with a group here at All Saints that has filled the library with discussion and learning each Sunday. It's gotten me thinking about Martin Luther, his life, and experiences that shaped his teaching about God and faith. One thing we know about Luther is that he struggled throughout his life with guilt and despair. As a young Augustinian monk, he was certain that he could not be good enough to earn God's grace. He went back to confession again and again, trying to assure himself that he would not be damned. And it got to the point, he says, where he feared and hated God because he knew he could not do what God asked. Then he had his famous epiphany, his understanding that our salvation is only by grace, only a gift of God, nothing that we can earn. But this understanding didn't end his struggles. After his ecclesial trial in 1521, the Emperor Charles V declared Luther an outlaw. While he was traveling back home, he was kidnapped, it turned out, by his prince, Elector Frederick, who took him home to a castle in Wartburg, where he was holed up for months and months. He was in Wartburg for his protection, and it was a productive time in which he wrote pamphlets and translated the New Testament. But it was also a wilderness time for Luther. In an article in the Sojourner's Magazine, Nadia Boltz Weber wrote, "When Luther himself was holed up in a castle translating the Greek Bible into German, so that for the very first time, somewhat regular folks could read the Word of God for themselves, well, while he was doing this, he struggled mightily with doubt and discouragement from what he understood to be the devil. And he was known to not only throw the occasional ink pots at whatever was tormenting him and causing him to doubt God's promises, but while doing so, he could be heard throughout the castle grounds shouting, 'I am baptized!'" Nadia goes on to encourage us, when we are discouraged and anxious, to take a note from Martin Luther's playbook and defiantly shout back at the darkness, "I am baptized." Not "I was baptized," but "I am baptized." Our baptism is for us, as it was for Luther, an identity that names us always as children of God, no matter our circumstances. In each of the synoptic gospels, Jesus is baptized at the start of his ministry. And in each one, his baptism is followed by 40 days of testing in the wilderness. The Spirit drives him into the wilderness where for 40 days he fasts and prays. The assurance given at his baptism that he is the Son of God and beloved of God is tested. The devil tries to drive a wedge between Jesus and God, to separate Jesus from that identity as God's Son. In Luke's story, Jesus responds to each temptation with a quotation from the book of Deuteronomy. It is a reminder of the 40 years the Hebrew people spent in the wilderness after God brought them out of slavery in Egypt. During their time in the wilderness, the Hebrew people were fed by daily manna, bread from heaven, which they could not collect or save from day to day. They had to learn in those years to trust in God to provide anew each day. So the devil tries to drive a wedge between Jesus and his trust in God by urging him to take things into his own hands, to trust in his own power instead of in God. He relies on Scripture and his baptismal identity to maintain his trust. Jesus shows us what Paul writes in the letter to the Romans. The word is not far away from you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. It is not far away in the spirit world above or buried in the earth below. Jesus shows us in his own time of testing what it means to have the word of God so near, known in the mind and the heart, a solid bedrock for faith. He shows us what it looks like for trusting to come from the heart and for the mouth to say what the heart believes, which takes us down the path of being set free and made whole. That's how the First Nations version translates being saved, being set free and made whole. You may note in this gospel that Luke says that Jesus is tested for 40 days. As if the testing wasn't something that just happened three distinct times after the 40 days were done, but was ongoing throughout those wilderness days. And so Jesus' recitation of Scripture becomes like a mantra, a repeated prayer that gets him through the days of testing. And friends, isn't that more like our experience? I, for one, cannot remember a 40-day period with just three tests, just three temptations to take control, doubt God, or question my own worth. As Luther struggled with insomnia and doubt and temptation to despair throughout his months in Wartburg, and indeed throughout his life, many of us face such testing throughout our own lives. What is happening in our country right now is a test and challenge for many of us. We face increasing uncertainty and division, policies that will increase hunger and decrease access to health care, policies that will raise prices on basic necessities for everyone, policies that empower white supremacy. And if that's not enough, our lives carry their own burdens, their own tests. Grief and loneliness, difficult or broken relationships, chronic pain or declining health. So here's the thing. Ultimately, if you listen carefully, the responses Jesus gives to the devil don't just debunk the devil's tests, but declare the good news. I am baptized, Jesus says. I am a child of God, beloved, and I know God's love is steadfast and true, more than anything the devil or this world can offer in its place. I was recently visiting in the home of a church member, and we had talked about difficulty sleeping through the night due to illness and discomfort. As we prepared to take communion, we prayed together the Lord's Prayer. And as we finished praying, she said, just kind of under her breath, "That gets me through so many nights." Just as Jesus held on to Scripture and prayer to get him through the hardest days and nights, so can we. So going back to Nadia Boltz-Weber's Sojourners article, she quotes one of my favorite seminary professors, you've heard his name before, and she gives this invitation. Lutheran theologian Craig Kester says that from an earthly perspective, evil can seem so pervasive as to be unstoppable. And watching the evening news would seem to support that idea. But from a heavenly perspective, evil rages on earth, not because it is so powerful, but because it is so vulnerable. Kester claims that Satan rages on earth because he has already lost and he is desperate. So if you are going to join me in this crazy practice of picturing our discouragement and doubt as a force that wants to defy God, then join me also in picturing it not as powerful and unstoppable, but picture evil and darkness for what it is, desperate and vulnerable. Then take a note from Martin Luther's playbook and defiantly shout back at this darkness, "I am baptized." Now, all of this isn't to say that we sit back and do nothing in the face of the powers that defy God's will for our world and our lives. It's not that sort of trust and dependence that says, God will take care of it all. You all know me better than that. We act. We use our hands and lift our voices to do God's work in the world. Next week, our offering of letters will give us a chance to urge Congress to maintain funding for programs that provide food and health care for people who need it. But ultimately, we know that neither our salvation nor the salvation of the world depends on us. God is God, and we are not. Amen. Thanks be to God. And so this season of Lent invites us to take a good look at all that tests our faith, all that tempts us. It invites us to consider our mortality and our limitations and our sin. And then it invites us to return to God, to return to God again and again with prayer and scripture, with worship and song, with bread and wine. And to remember that God's love is steadfast and true, and that whatever we face in our wilderness, God is with us. And God has already defeated death and evil for our sake. That God's faithfulness has endured through the ages and will not fail us now. That is the faith that will make us whole. Amen.